Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armelie.
I've known for a while this would be my day to preach. And normally I get my message usually a couple of days before or the day before. Well, this time, I had my message done early in the week. I thought, Lord, this is interesting. What are you up to? And there was a meeting yesterday that I was very aware of, but I thought, well, I'm not going to register because I just know me. I'm going to be preparing my message, so I can't go. Plus, you know, be gone most of the afternoon. And anyway, lots of reasons in my heart why I felt I couldn't go. Well, God opened every door, including Claude Neelane saying, are you going? And I thought, I think I better. The speaker at that meeting, and this is not what my message is about, because I really feel God wants me to deliver my message. But the speaker was John Arnott, Toronto Airport, and the revival. They've been trying to get him for a while. And the part that stood out to me, I mean, God fell in the room powerfully among a whole bunch of older pastors, because there were very few young in there, really, who were pretty sedate. And God showed up big time. The temperature went so high in there. It was so hot because fire came. And we were invited, whoever was at Toronto when it all happened, to give a testimony. And I got up because I was healed of chronic fatigue syndrome while I was there. Powerfully healed. And that can leave you stumbling for most of your life. And, of course, true to form, he laid hands on me and down I went. And as I lay there, I thought, God, how I miss this. The anointing was so rich, so rich. I thought, God, why don't we hunger? Why don't we press in? What's stopping us? John Arnott was the pastor in Strathford, Ontario, with his wife, Carol. And for years and years and years, they interceded for a revival. And I don't know the full story of everything that happened, but I know God showed up and John shut it down because people were manifesting. And that's what people do when God shows up, because they can't contain the anointing that comes. I mean, people were manifesting yesterday in that sedate crowd, very sedate crowd. And people manifest because the glory comes so strong. But he shut it down. And he left Strathford and went to Toronto, which is where God wanted him anyway, because of how it all unfolded. And somewhere in there, and I don't remember the timeline, they went to see Benny Hinn at a meeting. And he was still shut down. But Carol wasn't. And she got just plastered by Benny Hinn's anointing. And that began to shift them again. This man became hungry. And he went to Argentina. There's a price in this. He went to Argentina, to where the revivalists were, and was anointed by Claudio Friesen. I want to tell you, there was a season, and it began in Woodsley, and it continued here, but it started in Woodsley, that all of us as board and pastors got on a plane and went to Texas because all the Argentinians were there, and we wanted what they had. We paid for our own airline tickets. Nobody paid for us. Nobody paid for our hotels. But we were desperate. We wanted God. We wanted God. We drove to Toronto over and over again to bring that anointing here. And God moved in our midst. God moved powerfully in our midst. And I can look back over my life. God gave me a word early on in my ministry. I will connect you with people, and I will bring people along that I couldn't naturally get on my own. I look back over the span of my walk as a pastor, and I look at the people we've had in here. From Sergio Scataglini, Pedro Ibarra. This was in the season when many of you were not here. Way Taylor, William Hildreth, sorry. Claude, you're bad. It's starting to hit me. Can't think. William Hildreth stood over there. Young people stood right there in the corner with me. And Dan Tamburo. And this place was cement and dust. And he said, you will have a powerful move of God in this place with your young people. Are you going to go after it? Is someone going to get excited enough to say, God, I want it? And please don't tell me you have children. And you can't. Because I had small children when all this unfolded. Jay was a babe in my arms. Three small kids. I raised my children during all those years. That's not a reason. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Let them be in the anointing. Come on, if you want your children to walk with the Lord, bring them into the anointing. If they're kept apart from it, it'll never happen. They'll go the way of the world. Anyway, that's not my message, nor is this. But as I listened to him and he spoke, told a story. And then God just kept coming. Listen to me again, young people. Wherever he is going right now, you know where God's moving? Young people. 20 to 30 year olds are getting just so anointed by the Holy Spirit. They meet to praise and worship. They meet to intercede. And it's a mingling of both. And wherever they are meeting, God is starting to move. Because that's the generation God wants to touch. Why not here? Why not here where there is a well so deep? Is anybody going to pick it up? Or is it going to fall by the ground that another generation has to arise and begin to build from the bottom on up again? You have a choice. You can stand on our shoulders and carry it from here. Or you can let it drop. And 20 years from now, God hits you and you have to rebuild again. Why not keep on building? Why not go to a higher place? Why not? What's stopping us? The world? My Lord, we're not even supposed to be of the world. Why not us? Why not us? Why are we not hungry? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why am I not hungry? And this man who hosted for over 10 years a revival in Toronto, felt he was still one of the virgins that was asleep. I sat there, Lord, then I'm really asleep. Then wake me up. Wake me up. We've been given a commission, church. And what Andrea preached is absolutely right. God has a book of remembrance. And that's not a bad book. But I want my book full. I want it full with things that have pleased Him. People I've led to the Lord. People I've forgiven. There are people that during the span of my ministry, even though I followed the Holy Spirit and I did what I had to do, I sought counsel from my own pastor and other pastors, people that got hurt. My heart's cry has been, God, I want to be restored with those people. Because it breaks your heart and breaks my heart that there's a separation. Yesterday, while I was slain in the spirit on the floor, all of a sudden, I think I was sitting up by then, but I couldn't stand yet. Someone threw their arms around me and began to weep on my shoulders. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. It's one of the couples that I've been praying for, God, restore. I did what I needed to do. I don't think I did it all right, but I did it as well as I could. And it was a very, very difficult situation. There was restoration yesterday. Amazingly so. That's a God thing. I don't want to stand before Him one day and say, I chose not to forgive. No, I've been crying out, Lord, restore. Everything changed. Everything changed. Jesus performed miracles, wonders, and signs as a man in relationship. Thank you, Becca. He did it as a man in relationship. Now I lost my place. Let me go back here. Jesus performed miracles as a man, not as God. If He performed miracles as God, you and I couldn't. I think we know that fact. He was God. Come on, church, He was God, and He set it all down to walk it out as an example for you and I, that we can do it too. And He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. But if He did it then as a man, are you and I not responsible to pursue His lifestyle? What were the distinctions of His humanity? He had no sin to separate Him from the Father. And He was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. What are our distinctions as human beings? We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus through His sacrifice. Nothing now separates us from the Father. So we stand in the same position as Jesus. And we've been given the Holy Spirit who will fully empower us to walk as Jesus walked. So how come we're not hungry? How come we're not doing what He did? I'm saying how come, but because I'm talking to myself too, please. We often go back to the garden here at the church because that's one of the teachings God has given us and put so deeply inside of us. Where God says, let's make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. The heaven, even the heavens, Scripture says, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. He's given it to us. The earth belongs to us to govern. So we can look around and we can complain about the darkness that's coming, if that's where we want to focus. And we can be praying, God, get me out of here. Come with the rapture. I don't want to be here. Which a lot of the church is doing, just waiting to be rescued. Or we can pick up our dominion mandate. Come on. Or we can pick it up and begin to be who we're called to be. That lies within us. Because there's nothing that separates us from the Father. We stand in the same position as Jesus. We have the same Holy Spirit as he did. When he was baptized, he received the Holy Spirit. And God restored all that through the cross, and he restored it all through Pentecost. We've received it all. What are we going to do with it? Right? And I know we are to a degree, but I'm telling you, when Pastor Jay was preaching Easter Sunday, and he says, you know, Mom, you can preach whatever you want. I says, no, I'm continuing with the topic. Because God was just all over me inside. It's like, Gary, don't you know I've given you everything? Don't you understand that you can reach in for everything? Don't you understand that you can reach in for every healing if you have faith? You can reach in for all the supply you need. You can reach in for longevity. It's all available because I made everything new. I've given you access to everything. Everything that belongs to me is now yours. But everything that belongs to you is mine also. That's covenant. So I said, Lord, help us to understand who we are. Help us to understand what happened to us. Yes, our sins were washed away. Yes, we're going to heaven when we die. That's wonderful. But it goes so much further than that. Doesn't it? If we really have the government on our shoulders because Christ is in us, then we need to be impacting the world around us. And we need to be very conscious of that. Everywhere we go, we bring the kingdom of heaven with us. Everywhere we go, we can shift the atmosphere. Everywhere we go, we can speak a word of life into someone. A neighbor we meet when we're walking. Someone in the store. We keep saying it over and over again. But if you put it into perspective of who you are in Christ, then it begins to take on a little bit different meaning. It's easy to come under religion and do our duty. Maybe we read the word some. Maybe we don't even pick it up. But there is so much more. Bear with me because I'm way off my notes, and because I don't preach as often, it becomes a little more challenging. So I want to go to a part that I wrote because it's very important. Do you understand that your spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places? Adam and Eve walked in both spheres, right? They were of the heavenly, and they were of the earth. Spirit to the heavenly, soul and body here on earth. But the Holy Spirit had the main influence in their lives, not their soul, not their emotions. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we're new creations. When you got saved, you became a whole different kind of person. As it was said yesterday, we became small Christs, little Christs, walking around everywhere. New creations. When it says old things, the word is archaeos, archaic or primal things. New things, the word is kainos, unprecedented, of a new kind, novel, uncommon, unheard of. So the old has passed away when you and I got saved. And we became a whole new novel person, a whole new anointed person. We see such an example of this when we see the early church and we see the day of Pentecost. They were in the upper room praying, all 120. And by the way, it started with 500. Don't know where the other guys went, but 120 stayed. And they got filled. And they got filled, and they got filled, and they got filled. Well, in the atmosphere that we had yesterday, we got filled, and we got filled, and we got filled. And my longing is that that's how every Sunday is in here. Because I realize how desperately I longed for what I had experienced for such a long time. And it doesn't mean it's all terrible here, because it's wonderful here. But I know there's more. I know there's more, and I want all of us to have more. And I want all of us to take that out. Amen? That's why we're here. So the old has passed away, and a new kind, unprecedented, never seen before, has come forth. The new creation has never been presented until now. So until now, meaning on Pentecost, that morning, when they tumbled out of that upper room, they were totally different. Everything changed. They were filled. And they were speaking in tongues. They were tongue-talking people. Right? It says that it was diverse tongues, and everybody could understand that they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when Peter got up to speak, 3,000 people got saved. And that rocketed everything. It rocked everything. And they were launched. Signs and wonders and miracles began to happen. They recognized they were new creations in Christ. They were no longer the same. When we got born again, the same thing happened to us. When we got filled with the Holy Spirit, the same thing happened to us. They began to invade the darkness, and the gospel spread throughout the known world. Church, the gospel needs to spread right now in this whole area. Do you agree? It would be easy to say, oh, it's this all dark, dark, dark. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory has risen upon you. We can and will make a difference as we get hungrier and hungrier. We got to understand, though, it takes some requirement on our part. It's easy to come and sit here on a Sunday morning and get filled up and go home and just do life as normal. But then we've missed it. We've missed it completely, because that's not why we got everything that we got. That's not why we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? We've not just been recycled to now be, oh, well, they're Christians. Gee, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a Christian church. Help us, Lord. Right? I want to be known in heaven, and I want to be known in hell. Come on, I want the devil to know I'm alive. And I'm doing some damage. Right? Otherwise, who's going to plunder the darkness for Jesus? We're not recycled. We're brand new creations. So how do we change the world around us? Years ago, not that many, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago, do you remember, those of you who are here, how we began to learn about declarations? Remember that? That's one of the greatest ways that we can change the environment all around us, through the declaration. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. With our speech, we design and alter our environment. Because of the Holy Spirit who quickens us. So with our speech, we bring death or life. The power of our words is creative. Genesis, he spoke the world into being. That same power, that same God dwells in us. So I either speak life or death. It was interesting in your analogy, Andrea, when you read the word to your kids, there was a response immediately because the word's in them. It's powerful. On Sunday mornings, most Sunday mornings, Pastor Jay has us walking around to encourage someone. That's for a reason. That's for a reason. And when we're asked to do that, we need to say, Lord, who do you want me to go to? And what do you want me to say to them? In light of what I just said, that death and life is in our tongue. That person may need exactly what you're going to say to them. And you may think, I don't have anything. You'd be surprised if you've asked the Holy Spirit what he'll give you for that person. Maybe they just need a big hug. Maybe they haven't been hugged by anybody in months. And they need life. When we make declarations, realities are created in the spirit realm that were not there before. So I can decree and declare that I'm sick. When I get up in the morning and the devil says, yippee, I've got her. She just came into agreement with me and he's empowered. Come on. Because that's what my words do. That's what happened in the garden. He's empowered and he wreaks havoc. Or I can get up and say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I can go in my prayer room, spend time with the Lord, take communion, and command that assignment to break through having communion. And not saying a word about how I'm feeling, but getting healed. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Incredible tool we've been given. What do we do when we hear bad news? We spiral down. What if instead we decreed and declared over that situation what God is saying and began to shift the darkness out of the way? What if we began to ask the Lord, Lord, what is that situation? Show me how to pray. And we shift it. What if there's a murder in our area, we begin to repent on behalf of that situation and ask God to wash that whole area of the crime scene with his blood? What if we begin to shift the situations? Do you remember when we had that massive collision years ago on the 401? The pileup? And then there were several more accidents, like deadly accidents. And the government came out with, we have to widen the highway. It's the way the road is sloped and all that stuff came out. Well, a few of us from what was then the Woodsley Prayer Community thought, nope, there's something else here. And we began to pray. We began to ask the Lord, Lord, what's going on here? There were no accidents there. And now we've had multiple deaths on that highway. What is going on? Show us, Holy Spirit. And he did. That section of the highway had been cursed. Cursed over a dispute over land. So a few of us in leadership took communion elements. We couldn't get on the highway, could we, Claude? We got close because they were still cleaning up the wreckage. But we got close and we took that thing to task and we took communion there. There was no more accidents. It was it. Shifted the atmosphere and took authority over what the enemy was doing. Amen? We have that authority, and that's not that we're wonderful, but that's one situation I remember that was huge. I mean, there were others, but that one was just stands out. What's heaven saying in this situation? Now, Lord, how do you want us to handle this as you give us the keys? Because we have ears to hear and eyes to see in the spirit realm, right? If we never use them, we're never going to cause them to become stronger. It's like a weightlifter. He starts with maybe, I don't know what pounds you start with, but you start with a small amount and you begin to lift those barbells. Intercession begins in a small way and you lift barbells in the spirit. But little by little, there's clout that comes. And you can shift the atmosphere over an area. Completely, so people can come free. One of the things that we're doing so much right now on Tuesday mornings in the prayer room is praying for hunger to come in this whole region because it has to be impacted for the Lord. Amen? We want the anointing to come so thick that people are crying out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Is that not our responsibility? On our watch? Come on, it's our responsibility on our watch. When we pass away, the next generation has to be in place and they have to be running for the Lord. Amen? Are you with me? It's our job. Why else did we receive Jesus? Why else have we been baptized in the Holy Spirit? But to use that for his kingdom. Marguerite, when you're in nursing, and my sister when she's nursing, you know, even though you may not be able to say a whole lot, every person you touch, impartation. Lord, let them come to know Jesus. You walk in the room and there's a chaotic atmosphere. Lord, out of my place of peace, I release peace into that room. Without even having to say very much. We carry all that inside of us. And God is saying, what are you going to do with it? If we're a soul winner, and we all should be, but there is an evangelistic anointing on people, we need to be grabbing people out of darkness. That's why we're here. Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. He did it. By ministering to the poorest of the poor. He did it by ministering to the brokenhearted. He did it by, you know, the woman whose son had died. His heart of compassion went out. And he interrupted the funeral. She would have been alone. I mean, alone without anyone to take care of you in that time was a whole lot different than here. She would have been destitute. And he had mercy on her and raised up that child. Zacchaeus' daughter. He saw the heart of Zacchaeus. and he raised up the daughter. You and I carry that same anointing. Is someone going to say, you know what? I want this. I want this. I want revival. I want people impacted. I want more, Lord. I want to be so anointed that when people come near me, their hearts begin to turn to Jesus. Right? Why else are we here? I say, more, Lord. Our words actually build the world we live in. Through our words, we bring heaven and its resources here on earth. So I can actually go, Lord, this is a bad situation. What have you got in that eternal realm that we need here? Amen. It's there for us to take, but no one's doing it. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's not fair. We need to do it a lot more because you are doing it. But I want to stir you up for more. And I want to stir a younger generation up for more. Dear Lord, go beyond where I've gone. And I think God's allowed me to do a whole lot, but my heart's cry is, Lord, let a generation arise. I think of the prophetic words that came over the two girls about the miracles that they would walk in. And I say, God, that's not going to get robbed. It will happen. Amen? As long as I have breath in me and I'm around as grandma, I will be praying. I have prophetic word that all 11 children will serve the Lord, grandchildren, sorry. Will serve the Lord. And among my grandchildren are fivefold ministry giftings. Truthfully, right now, it doesn't look very much like that. But it's there. It's just waiting to pop. So grandma prays. Oma and opa pray. Every day. Lord, you said. You said, that's my portion. That's their portion. Sam and Judy, I keep looking at you too. I think God wants to stir up the well inside of you. You both have such deep wells inside of you. Judy, you the prophetic. You're a visionary, you see. Sam, you're a teacher. You're quiet, but there's dynamite inside of you. God wants to stir that up in you again. That which was there in the prayer rooms during your internship, the Lord says it isn't gone. The Lord says, will you fan it into flame? Will you let me do it again? Amen? Will you let me do it again? Only you can answer that, Sam. I can't. Judy. But the Lord wants to use you powerfully. He really does. He really does. And Abby, don't let the fire get put out. The little girl that said, Grandma, that's an idol. God says, His fire is in you. Don't let anything shut it down. Because it's very real. And it's very strong. And it's going to keep burning. There's so much more. Using words of encouragement creates a culture of honor, which is the atmosphere of heaven. Luke 8:10, he says to us, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. There's a kingdom there that we get to walk in. It's not like earth. We're to bring heaven here. It happens to us, through us. Amen? It happens through us, on the workplace, in the store, in our neighborhoods. But if we would sit with the Lord in the morning and get into His presence, we can't do it without His presence. You can't do it in your own steam. But as you sit with Him and He begins to fall on you, ask Him, Lord, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want me to pray for? Even if you can't get near them, if God highlights a person to you while you're out, that becomes your prayer target. Do you ever walk along and all of a sudden your eyes fall on somebody and you feel a burden inside? That person has just become your mandate. And as you begin to declare the word of the Lord over them as it comes to you, that's why the word has to be in you. It can't come out if it's not in you. But as it bubbles up, you begin to pray for that person. God begins to shift the atmosphere and the blessing of heaven comes on that person. Somebody else comes along then and is able to maybe speak a word into them. Somebody else comes along and is able to lead them to Jesus. Amen? Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. That's now our mandate. And that's not by yelling at the devil and all that. That's by using the word. That's by using the anointing. And that's by taking away from him something that he's taken captive. By walking in love, in mercy, using the prophetic gift inside of you, encouraging someone with words of life, speaking life into them. It may be forgiving someone. Maybe laying hands on them and seeing them healed. But it's been placed inside of us. And everything we need, the Holy Spirit will give as we step out. You know what it's going to require for us? Surrender and yieldedness. Will we do what He needs us to do? One day you and I are going to, we'll go into heaven. And we'll stand before the Lord. And we give an account. We do give an account for what we've done with what He's given us. I don't want to be the one that's buried the talent. I want what's been given, and I pray that for you, that you will spend it and give it away. And see it increase. And give it away. And see it increase. Does that make sense? If you felt like I beat you up, that's not my intent. I want to stir you up. I want to stir you up. This place should be full. All our prophetic words. That people would come to be healed. It has to happen. God, we didn't look for those words. Those words were given by people who were not novices. That the worship would be so powerful in here, people would walk in and get healed. That people would get healed in the parking lot. I just pulled up a prophetic word that I received in Leamington, that we would be like mobiles. People would have to park long way away because there wasn't any room here. And they would get on buses and get healed before they got here. That's what happened with Ma Beals, who was in Detroit in Bethesda. She was a woman that was highly anointed by the Lord, but it was a man's world. And she was allowed to preach finally, or teach, I think it was, in kind of an area of the porch where people came in. And that's where it began for her. Well, she became a mighty apostle who was instrumental in seeing the prophetic released in this whole area. Couldn't stop Ma Beals. Hopefully it'll be said of me, you can't stop her either. That's my wish, my cry. Lord, I want to go until I can't breathe anymore. Because there's so much more. And yesterday when I laid on that floor, I thought, God, there's so much more. Help us to want this. Help us to pray. Come join us. This place needs to be a praying church. Amen? Anyway, I've said enough. If you would stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to close by asking you, Claude, if you'd stand on that side and release it on that side. I'm going to stand, Elaine, go stand with Claude. We're just going to pray. Holy Spirit, you want to say something? Yeah, there's a prayer line after, and we certainly will impart to you if you're interested. Because he prayed we'd have 10 times more than we've ever received. And I've received a whole lot in my lifetime. And I said, God, I take 10 times more than what I've received already. Amen? So, Lord, I thank you. Father, I pray you stir up a hunger in us that we wouldn't settle for this, which is wonderful. But, Lord, when you've got a kingdom for us, Lord, we just want more. We need more to serve you in this hour. So, Holy Spirit, would you come fall on us again? Holy Spirit, come fall on us again. We need a fresh infilling, Holy Spirit. We say we just need more. More of you, Holy Spirit. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. We just need you, Lord. We just need you. We need more, Holy Spirit. And when we walk out of here, Lord, let it manifest when we speak to somebody. Let somebody feel your presence because you've come and you filled us this morning. So Holy Spirit, come. Come fill us once again. Come fill us once again. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.